real, real, real. Jesus is real to me. Some may doubt him, but I know too much about him. For Jesus is real to me. What a joy it is for us to be in the house of the Lord once again, having this privilege of intaking, ingesting the Word of God. And certainly, day in which we live, we need the Word, because the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're thankful for this blessed privilege of being present in this place, and certainly to feel and see the exuberance that you all have to be here. It's so-called Halloween, and we are not out tricking and treating, but we are treating. The Lord has a treat for us. Amen. It's not in a bowl and it's not in a trunk. Amen. It's in the Bible. So we thank God for this privilege of being present. I want to thank you for your kindness, generosity, consideration, warm expressions of love and support, prayers for my birthday, and clergy appreciation month. I told Reverend McCoy it's the best I've had, and made me feel like something. You know? So I thank you dearly, and certainly I pray God's blessings richly upon you. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16. Continuing our study of the Holy Spirit, and it is in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 that we get a sneak peek at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit as a divine personality, that he's not an it. He's a person, and he's a person because he has feelings. He's able to think. He's able to act. He's able to express himself. He's able to speak. So he's a personality, divine personality. But John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. He's not a spirit of error. He's the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father. He shall testify of me. So his conversation is of Christ. Amen. He talks and speaks of Christ. Amen. A person filled or full of the Holy Ghost will talk much of Christ. Amen. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy and divine word. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's a person. He's a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. We know the Godhead consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he's the third person of the Godhead because he proceeds from the Father through the Son. Now, I want you to get that in your spirit. He proceeds from the Father through the Son. You can't have one and not have the other. Amen. So there are debates and conflict, contention concerning baptism and all of that, that, you know, some say we don't baptize in Jesus' name, and for that reason we are not saved. But listen, you can't have the Son and not have the Father and the Holy Ghost. You can't have the Holy Ghost and not have the Father and the Son. And you can't have the Father without having the Son and the Holy Ghost. So he's the third person of the Godhead. He proceeds from the Father through the Son. Amen. So when you're saved, you have the three in one. You have the three in one. You have the three in one. Important for us to know that you have all of heaven on your side when you're saved. You're not alone. He's with you. The Lord is with you. Jesus Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. So you have the Godhead with you. Amen. That ought to give you courage when you are dealing with life and dealing with circumstances and situations, even conflict. You understand that you are not alone. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. And then he says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we have all of the Godhead. We have all three persons of the Godhead on our side. Amen. So we thank God for the Holy Spirit. We thank God for the Holy Spirit. We're dealing with the emblems of the Holy Spirit, and we have dealt with the Holy Spirit as represented in Scripture by all that are. All represents the anointing and empowering of the Holy Spirit for God's purposes. Amen. Now understand, you are anointed and empowered for God's purposes. Amen. That you do his will. That is not about all you can dream about and all you desire outside of God. You're not given the Holy Spirit to, you know, fulfill your bucket list. No, it's about God's will, his purposes in your life that they ought to be lived out. So he anoints us, empowers us for God's will. That's number one. Then we talked about the Holy Spirit as water, that the Holy Spirit refreshes, quench, and cleanse. Amen. That's his ministry. Also is to refresh. So I'm never stale. Amen. I'm never parched. I'm always fresh. Amen. Refreshed in the Lord. Amen. He don't allow us to be like a desolate place, like a desert. He refreshes us. He quenches and cleanses us. So he brings forth life. He brings forth life. Amen. You are living life. Prior to the Holy Spirit, prior to being saved, you were dead spiritually. You were walking dead. You looked alive because you were alive physically, but spiritually you were dead. Amen. Amen. But he quickened. He made us alive. So he has given us life. He refreshes. But then we said that the Holy Spirit is like wind. That he has the ability to change and transform human life. We have to admit that we are different. There has been a change that has come over us since the Holy Spirit indwelt us. Amen. Amen. I'm changed. I'm being changed. But I'm changed. I'm not what I used to be and who I used to be. Amen. Amen. Prior to being saved, I was a scoundrel. Amen. I was a sinner. Y'all say amen, because I'm looking at you all too. Amen. But when we got saved and he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, he changed. He started changing our character. And because we had a character change, we had conduct change. Yeah, that's why the old saints would say, the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. And the places I used to go, I don't go anymore. Y'all can't say amen because y'all still going, y'all still doing. Amen. I'm just checking the house now. I want to make sure I'm in good company because y'all got kind of quiet right in there. Amen. Change. Amen. Amen. Transform. You know, we are so changed, it shocked us. Sometimes I'm shocked about who I am and what the Lord has caused me to become and who he's causing me to become. You know, not just who I am now, but he's working for me to even be to be even better than I am now. But it's shocking. Shocking that transformation is taking place. Amen. I can take some stuff I used to couldn't take. Amen. Amen. I can take some folks saying some stuff to me that I used to couldn't take. I had to try to say something back. I can take some folk doing some stuff to me that I used to couldn't take. You know, I think all of us at one time had a little ditch digging ministry, you know. Somebody digging a ditch for you. You're kind of digging one for them. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit will make you put down the shovel. And just watch them dig the ditch, and you know where the ditch is, so you avoid falling in the ditch. Because you're transformed. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I'll be driving, and I guess I don't be doing what the other driver want me to be doing, and then they'll kind of throw up the middle finger at me. And I don't throw it back up, you know. I give them 10. Transform. Yeah, transform. So we're changed. We're being changed. And we will be changed. So the Holy Spirit is transformed. Then we said it's like a cloud. It's the abiding presence of the Lord. Thanking God that God is an abiding presence, that he doesn't come and go. He never leaves us nor forsake us. He's abiding presence. So whether we're at church or at the church house or at home, he's with us. Abiding presence. Amen. And the Holy Spirit within. So everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is with us. So that's why the old saints would say, he walks with me. And he talks with me. Amen. Because he's an abiding presence. Now, let me get you to clothing, and this is where we left off. We left off with cloud, but let me start with clothing. And let us look at Luke chapter 24, verse 49. We're on emblem 5, Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It reads, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father unto you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Now, clothed with power. The word is translated endued. So you are clothed, you are endued. You see it? With power. So notice you are completely endued, you are completely equipped with power. There is no lacking of power when the Holy Spirit takes residence in you. Now, I want you to see this because it is important. Because some of us are waiting for the power to come, not knowing that the power is already with us. Are y'all with me? We are completely endued, completely empowered to do the purposes of God. Amen. Amen. Now go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And we love to quote it. But I want us to understand what we're quoting. Because we get stirred up when we quote Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. But we got to understand what it means. But we can really shout and really praise God. Even in the midst of trouble, in the midst of difficulty, even in dealing with hardships and heartaches and headaches, we have the power. We have the power. We are powerful. Amen. I wish we would really settle that in our spirits. As believers, as Christians, we are powerful. We are powerful. We are powerful. Listen to it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see it? According to the power that worketh in us. Here's the picture. The power is there, but you don't know how to activate. All right? Let me give you an example. If this microphone had a switch, the power, the sound ability, capability, would go all the way to the switch if it was off, but would not reach the mic head. Therefore, it would not transmit sound through the cord back through the system, because there would be a break in the power. If you don't know how to turn the switch on, the power is in you, but you don't know how to activate it because you don't know how to turn the switch on. Another example of it is a lamp. You know, most of us have lamps beside the bed, you know, because we like to do a little bed reading. And you reach over and you turn the switch and the light comes on. The light comes on because the light was hooked into a power source. But if the light was not hooked into a power source, when you hit the switch, no light would come on. Now, being that we're saved, we're already hooked or plugged into the power source. You just have to know how to hit the switch. So that the purposes of God can be experienced in your life and through your life because you have the power of God. And let me tell you something that you need to stop doing. You need to stop letting other people turn your switch off. And the reason they're turning your switch off is because they don't understand the purposes of God. Yeah, you already got the power according to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He's the ability of God to do the purposes of God. So he was given to us so that we do the purposes of God. So clothe, you're clothed. You are completely clothed, completely equipped. You got everything you need to accomplish the will of God for your life. Now, stop looking horizontally and comparing yourself. If I had time, I would talk about how he gives differences of administration and operations and all like that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So you don't, you know, feel intimidated, you know, feel inferior because you don't have the exact same ability. You know, I know God has blessed me and gifted me in ways that he has not blessed and gifted other pastors. So when it comes to my lane, I understand my lane. Amen. That's why I'm not bothered by a preacher coming in. I don't care if he dumped the house. He come in and dump the house. I got a gift. Amen. And my gift is best where he has situated me. So you don't have to feel intimidated and bothered by other guys, other people that are gifted. I'm gifted. You're gifted. God has given you everything you need to accomplish his purposes in your life that he intends for you to accomplish. So stop looking horizontally. Stop looking around and comparing yourself. Stop thinking, you know, hey, you know, they don't like me, you know, because I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, I just love to hear folks do it. You know, sometimes them choir members, they get happy and start hollering. I'm going to say, well, I'm going to holler too. Go on, holler. I love it. Because it takes us all together to accomplish the purpose. But I know my operation and my administration and my gift that he has given Rogers everything Rogers need to accomplish the purposes that he has for me. So stop letting other people turn your switch off. And stay on. Stay activated. Because you are fully clothed. Boy, this is a word. This is a word. You're fully clothed. So we see in Luke that he has clothed us with power from on high. So this power from on high moves you beyond the ordinary. Stop trying to be average and accept being exceptional. Oh, I told y'all some years ago, there's nothing average about me. Y'all thought I was trying to be, you know, arrogant and all that kind of, you know, cocky. Oh, Reverend, he just always, listen, you think you average? If the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, what's average about the Spirit of God? You ought to be doing supernatural things, and people should see the evidence of the Spirit of God in your life. That there's nothing average about you. So stop trying to be average on your job. You're trying to go in like everybody else and complaining about them. No, I'm exceptional. And I'm not exceptional in of myself, but I'm exceptional because the Spirit of God. I'm fully clothed. Man. I'm fully clothed. I'm fully equipped. Work that in your spirit. Work that in your spirit. Secondly, are the sixth emblem. Let me deal with the sixth emblem. Earnest. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Notice guarantee. Guarantee. That the Holy Spirit is the earnest, the down payment, the guarantee. Amen. So I know I'm going to make it. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to live eternally with the Father. Because I have guarantee. A guarantee. See, the person of the Holy Spirit, he's our guarantee. Hallelujah. So notice I'm sealed. You see it? With the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm sealed. Now this is a heavenly seal. This is not an earthly seal. Nothing of the earth can break the seal. Nothing of the earth can undo the seal. Not even me. I cannot undo the seal. I'm sealed. I have the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. It's all God. Now, I want you to understand that it didn't start with you and it's not going to end with you. It started with God, it's going to end with God. That's why he's Alpha, Omega, beginning, end. It started with God. Now, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he begun the good work that he's going to complete. So, I have a guarantee that I'm going to come out, end up exactly the way God wants me to end up. Boy, I want to say something here. I want you to understand, let me say it this way. I want you to know all of life, whether you consider it good or bad, is a part of the molding of God to get you to his end. God can take some of the wrong decisions, well, the wrong decisions you make, and shape you through your wrong decisions. See, you got to understand that God is not like us, that he's not caught by surprise, caught off guard when we decide to make a wrong decision. But God can take those wrong decisions and still shape you and mold you and get you to where he has destined for you to be. Because you seal. Man. So you think it's just when you come to church. You think it's just the good you do. You think it's just the right you do. It's heavy now. No. All of your life, God knows it from the beginning to the end and from the end to the beginning. Amen. And he can take even the bad choices you make. And because you are guaranteed to be redeemed, take the bad decisions, the bad choices, and still turn you right. I said something when I first got to the church. He's the only one I know who can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. See, the Holy Spirit is working. He's working. So he's the earnest. He's the guarantee. The guarantee. He seals us. Because there's a promise on us. And God made a promise. And the promise is you're eternally saved. And he seals us to fix us from the, for the promise. That we'll get the inheritance. It's ours already. And so, although you don't feel like it, it don't seem like it, you have to know how to praise God in advance because you already have the inheritance. It's already in your name. One time I was studying faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and one writer said, faith is the title deed for what you hope for. If you have the title deed, you may not have it in your possession.
That's right.
But it's yours because you have the title deed. Let me give you an example.
Come on,
if I give you the title to my car, you own the car.
Yeah.
I may be still driving it.
That's right. But
because you have the title, you have ownership of the car. Now, let me give you another example. When you go and you put a car or you finance a car, house or whatever the case may be, a car, house, or motorcycle or, whatever you finance, you don't get the title deed until it's paid in full. So you're really driving someone else's vehicle. Until you make the last payment. And they send you the title in the mail. Y'all with me? Now, watch this. When it comes to salvation, it's already been paid for. And he has given us the title deed on the inside, which is the Holy Spirit, the earnest, the guarantee that it's ours. So at times I don't feel saved, but I'm guaranteed that I'm saved. Now, do I have anybody here? Sometimes you don't feel saved, but you have the title. Thank you, Lord, for the title. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within, that assures me that I'm saved. And heaven is my home. Let me get to the next one. I got to get to do. Now, let's look at Hosea chapter 14. And I want you to turn to Hosea chapter 14 with me because I got to expound a little bit on this for you to understand. All right, Hosea chapter 14. All right, and we want to kind of horn in on verse 5. He says, I will be like the dew of Israel, to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. That's verse 5, right? All right, listen to this. The Holy Spirit is due, is like dew, who can refresh your spirit with his presence. Now, I want you to get that in your spirit. The Holy Spirit is like dew, who can refresh your spirit, your immaterial self, with his presence. It is through the Holy Spirit we as God's people live, we are refreshed, we grow, and produce fruit.
Amen.
Now, I want you to get that, because he uses a lot of plant similes in Hosea chapter 14 to relay the ministry of the Spirit of God in us. What he's like, what he's like, what he's like. And then what he make us like. All right. So it is through the Holy Spirit, God's people, we as God's people live, we're refreshed, we grow and produce fruit. So notice in verse 5, he likens Israel to a lily. Verse 5, he likens Israel to the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 6, he likens Israel to an olive tree. Verse 7, he says Israel is revived like the corn. Verse 7, he says that Israel grows like the vine. And then in verse 8, he says Israel is like the fir tree. You know, a fir tree is like an evergreen tree. The leaves of an evergreen tree the bristles of an evergreen tree are always green. So he says we'll never be brown. We'll never lose, you know, we'll never lose our moisture. Will always be refreshed because we are always supplied. This same thing the psalmist said in Psalm 1, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Leaves shall never wither. He always supplies what you need. So he uses a lot of plant similes to relay a message to us, then at the time Israel, but now to us, of the working of the Holy Spirit in us. The beauty. Trees of Lebanon, cedars of Lebanon, fir tree. We'll never wither. We'll never waste away. Vine, we can produce fruit. Olive tree, you know, symbolism of olive tree, that we are peaceful. You know, when Noah was in the ark and he sent out the dove came back with an olive branch. Peace of God. And we can be peaceful. You don't have to be hostile and angry. Spirit on the inside of you, you can be peaceful because you're refreshed. I like, you know, this thing of dew, because, you know, in Job 14, You know, the question is, if a man dies, shall he live? And then he's likened unto a tree that has been cut down, but the stump has been left. And it says that at the scent of rain, of moisture, it buds. Whew. That's this ministry of the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, we may have been cut down, but we can sprout, we can bud, which is a sign of new life in us. That I'm not dead. I don't have a dead spirit. That I'm alive. I'm refreshed. So the Spirit of God is likened unto dew. And the dew refreshes. It gives us life. He helps us grow and produce fruit. Without the Spirit of God, there is no productivity. You will not produce. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no life. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no growth. And there's no refreshing. Let me end with breath. 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 Genesis 1:2. That the breath of God represents the Holy Spirit's participation in the creation of human beings. Now, I want you to look at chapter 33, verse 4. Job chapter 33, verse 4. I like this. We're in real Bible class. We're in real Bible class. Y'all are turning in. Job chapter 33, verse 4. It reads, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." You see it? All right, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Now, go with me to John's Gospel, John chapter 20, verse 22. And I hang my hat with John chapter 20, verse 22, and I try to explain the difference in baptism of the Holy Spirit and being filled with. Notice it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive the Holy Ghost." See it? This is feeling of being filled with. Being filled with. Receive the Holy Ghost, because to be filled with is to be controlled by. Alright? Alright. Now, we understand that Acts chapter 2 is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To be baptized with, which means to be endued, endowed, to be empowered for the purposes of God. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." So the purpose of God is to witness. But you cannot witness to others of God without the power of God in you.
That's right.
Amen. Your words are empty and hollow and lack punch if the Holy Spirit is not in you.
Right.
You can be saying some things without effect. So you don't just get up and mouth and just be saying and mouth saying and nothing happens. That's why I know when I preach, it may not happen the same day. But I know something is happening and something is going to be, something is going to transpire in the life of people that hear the word of God. It may not be instant. But because the seed has been planted, the Holy Spirit is going to water the seed and bring about, you know, it's going to bring about fruit in the life of the person that has received the seed. So the words are not empty and hollow. So you need to be baptized. Baptized by the Holy Spirit, endued, endowed with the power of God, so you can do the purposes of God. That's what Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, you know, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, that's what we're preaching. Is after the Holy Spirit came in as a mighty rushing wind, and there was, you know, cloven tongues sitting up on the heads of all that were in the house, you know, things started to happen, signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. But then we see in John chapter 20, where Jesus says, receive the Holy Ghost. You see it? So he was saying to them, be controlled by, ordered by the Holy Ghost. This is not a contradiction. This is not a contradiction. So one is to be endowed, the baptism. Being made capable, made able to do the purposes of God, which is Acts chapter 1, chapter 2. And then you see all of the workings of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. But then he also says to be filled, which means to be controlled by. Because the Holy Spirit can be in you and you quench. When you don't understand who's really in charge, you quench. And that's the case of a lot of people who confess Christ, that they have not given the Holy Spirit control. And they only want to use the Holy Spirit for certain times to feel empowered and endued. But he's in charge. He's the Spirit of God on in you to order you. So you need to be baptized. Baptized. You need to be endued, endowed with the Holy Spirit to do the things of God. Now, there's a difference. I gave, you know, this an example a few weeks ago that you can get a person that's gifted in singing. And they can hit all of those octaves and hit all of those notes and everything. And people be just sitting there looking. Watching them and looking at them like they watching TV. And you get an old mother that's been walking with the Lord and know the Lord and know the Spirit of God and know how to submit to the Spirit of God. And she opened her mouth and her voice just is crackly and cracking. But it's just something about when that sound come out. And she don't sound worth much or nothing now, but the Spirit of God is with it. And the next thing you know, you done took your glasses off. I don't know what it is, but every time she sang that song, you can't holler, hold it together, because the Spirit of God started working with you. Because she's been anointed, empowered for the purposes of God. Same thing can happen in preaching. Same thing can happen in nurturing. And in any ministry that we have at church, anything of God, there's a difference in a person that has been anointed and empowered and a person that hadn't. That they can merely go through the motion and won't be any type of feeling, any type of result from what they're doing because they have not been baptized by the Spirit of God. Man. So he says, be filled, the breath of God. Now this word can be translated thrust, gush, inspiration. You know? And we just go on and deal with breath. But we know it's the life-giving breath of God. It's what God breathed into Adam after he had formed him. And he didn't become a living soul until he received the breath. Let God breathe on you. He wants to breathe on. Let him breathe on your family. Let him breathe on your children. Let him breathe on your plans, your endeavors. Let God breathe on it. But you try to breathe on it. But you have to let God breathe on it. Let him breathe on you. And watch the difference God will make. I say to him, Lord, I don't want to do anything of my own. I need you to breathe on me. Breathe on me as a husband. Breathe on me as a father. Lord, breathe on me as a pastor. As a teaching preacher. Breathe on me. And listen, you'll watch God do some amazing things through your life and for your life. If you just let him breathe on you. We'll stop there. Stop there. Any questions before we close in prayer? All right, any questions? All right, let us stand. Lord, breathe on me. Did y'all get your treat tonight? Y'all come on, make your circle. Make the circle. Yes, sir. I know that's right. Are there any prayer requests?
Thank you.
Are there any prayer requests? Our Reverend Erskine and his family. All right. Any other prayer requests? Miss Burtz. Amen. She made it through surgery. Thanking God for that.
Amen.
Missing her presence. She's a special soul, a special personality. Amen. Pray for Miss Burtz. Anyone else? All right. Johnny Loach and Harold Peterson. All right. Cassandra Harris. All right. Shalane Daney. All right. Elaine Nix. All right, at Princeton. Green and Cash family. All right. All right. Betty Turner. Global family. Okay. Praying for Brother Joe. Lost the aunt, Joe Barrow. The Samson. All right. All right.
Pray for the family this morning in Hoover. On the way to work this morning, there was a head-on collision, and two members died, and the others are in the hospital.
All right. That accident that occurred this morning in Hoover, where two lives were taken. Pray for that family and those that are in critical condition in the hospital. Anyone else? This may be my last time. This may be my last time. I don't know. This may be my last. This may be my last time. May be my last time. I don't know. Father in heaven, we thank you. You blessed us beyond measure. We thank you, Lord, for looking beyond our faults, blessing us according to our needs. Thank you, Lord, for the grace you have applied and mercies. Thank you, Father, for a portion of health and strength, minds sane. Lord, you have supplied us. You have secured us. Thank you. Thank you for every soul under the sound of my voice and those who are watching virtually. Bless them and touch them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Continue to use them for your glory and the good of your people. Thank you, Father, for revelation of your word that we are empowered. We just have to activate the power to do your purposes. Thank you, Father, for anointing us and empowering us. Help us, Father, to live our best lives. Help us to know that there's nothing average about us, that you have called us to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Lord, I pray for the names that have been called out on this evening. Pray for those who are hospitalized as we're going from hospital to hospital and home to home. We pray for those that are low in their homes. Pray for the homeless, the incarcerated. Pray for those who are in mental institutions, rehabilitation clinics, and houses. Lord, we pray for those who just wandering the streets. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting because of life and how life can take you down some unpredicted turns and paths. We pray, Father, for the children. One lost his life. Senseless domestic violence. I pray that you, Lord, bless the children, bless the parents. Give them strength, Lord, to face life in the absence and with the void of a young friend and a young son. Lord, I pray that your word spread and lives be saved before it is eternally too late. For we understand Satan is busy. We see the evidence of his movement on the earth. That he's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you ordered us, God, to go and teach and baptize In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach again to observe all things whatsoever you have commanded. And you said, lo, I'm with you. Always. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your presence. And whether we be in the sanctuary, Lord, we be somewhere else or at home, we know we have your presence. We're never alone. We are not lonely. Lord, I pray for the bereaved. Give them strength to look up and give you thanks, because your word says give thanks in all things. And you said that these things would be because you have gone away to prepare a place for us. And if you go away and prepare a place, you'll come again and receive us unto yourself. That where you are, we'll be also. So, Father, make us ready. Prepare us. Wash us with your word. Fix us, Lord, by way of your Holy Spirit. Be the captain and caregiver and caretaker of our lives. Lord, that we'll be led right. And, Lord, even when we decide to go in another direction, Lord, you have the power to work that out even for our good.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we thank you.